MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, podcasting not from Denver today, but from my mom's office. I am back east visiting friends and family after some bachelor party festivities this weekend. So the backdrop behind me, a little more boring than usual. Not boring, though, will be today's show because I am joined by Derek Brown of Fantasy Pros and Matt Harmon of Yahoo Sports and Reception Perception. We were talking wide receivers today, so of course we had to bring Matt on, probably the leading voice in the industry on the position. But guys, I want to ask you, for my bachelor party, or not my bachelor party, the bachelor party I was doing this weekend for a friend, we went zorbing. Do you guys know what zorbing is? D-Bro?
I have never heard of that, but in a true spreadsheet, bro, you're actually, where is that? Your mom's basement you're podcasting from?
Her office.
I mean, it sounds about right. Sounds about right. No, you're going to have to fill me in. I've never even heard of that.
Matt, zorbing, any Rolodex?
Can't say I've heard of zorbing. I mean, I've heard of a lot of mysterious bachelor party activities. Zorbing, not one of them.
Zorbing,
is this G-rated? Hold up, Worm. Is this G-rated? Like, are we supposed to discuss this on the podcast?
It does sound maybe a little PG-13. It is not. Zorbing, you've probably seen videos of this in New Zealand. It's when you get in a big, like, blow-up orb, really, like a ball, and you roll down a huge hill. And so the only Zorbing park in the United States is actually on the East Coast. It's in Tennessee, which is why I flew back here. We rolled down some hills all weekend. It was super fun. It almost feels like a water slide because you're kind of sitting in water while you do it. I would strongly recommend it to anybody who is interested. It's supposed to be really dangerous, but honestly, it was like just fun and easy. And we had a great time. We will jump into the show here. Before we do, I do have a prize to give away. The winner of the autographed Kenneth Walker jersey, courtesy of bettingpros.com, is Brendan Newsom. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Please get in touch with our customer support agents at mailbag@fantasypros.com with your mailing address and proof of your subscription to the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel, and we will get that jersey shipped out to you. Again, the winner is Brendan Newsom. Congratulations. Guys, we're talking about some high upside must-draft wide receivers this season. We are one day away from August. It is officially the busiest, most fun time of year. It is basically draft season upon us. We're going to be using the half PPR expert consensus rankings to determine draft cost. You can find those rankings on the Fantasy Pros website. We will start, Matt Harmon, with your number 5 must-draft wide receiver this season.
Yeah, and I kind of tried to approach this, I think, the same way that D-Bro did here, where I wanted to go a little bit like later and then kind of earlier. And, you know, the earlier guys obviously are going to be drafted early. Everybody knows they're good. But, like, I think we'll be in consensus here that these guys might have a little more ceiling to them even than people think. But starting with the later round guy, I went with Zay Flowers because I really, really love the setup of this Ravens passing attack. And I paused there because I know that this could really come back to bite me, right? Like, because of all the injuries with this group. I love Rashad Bateman. I've been a big Rashad Bateman fan for a long time. I I think we've seen really good stuff from him in the NFL so far. I think we've seen the player that I expect him to be in the NFL. The problem has just been the injuries. He's on the PUP list this offseason. You know, he gets the injection, the whole thing. I'm still hopeful that he can come back and be a really good player. I think Odell Beckham, people forget that the last time we saw him was a really good player, both for the Cleveland Browns, you know, no thanks to Baker Mayfield, but viewed in isolation, Odell Beckham was still a really good player against press man coverage. But again, we just don't know what he looks like, right? We don't know what he's going to look like this year. The guy I think that has the most injury-based, like, contingent upside here is Zay Flowers, who I was a big fan of as a prospect. You got to see Zay Flowers, Boston College, line up at all three positions. You got to see him play X. You got to see him play flanker. You got to see him play slot. And you saw him beat man coverage, too. 73.1% success rate versus man coverage. 72.7% success rate versus press coverage. I liked him better than Jordan Addison as a prospect. I liked him better than Quentin Johnston as a prospect. He was my receiver, too. It was very close between those three guys, but I think Flowers is the guy I just gave the slight nod to. So a guy that I think can line up everywhere, and an offense that's going to play faster and could be that guy that, like, hey, if he's the best receiver on this roster in December, where you're trying to, like, kind of win your league, I wouldn't be surprised by that. I think he's a very good player.
Do you think there's any chance Zay Flowers ends up the Ravens' best receiver if both Bateman and Odell stay healthy this season? Or is it that injury risk being baked in that might have you thinking he's got that kind of upside?
Well, it's much less likely, just because I think those two guys are good, but I also think it is still possible because of how good Flowers is and how good he is in an offense that's going to, like I say, spread the field. I think he probably, maybe you guys disagree, but I think he probably lines up primarily as the slot receiver, even though he can play flanker and X as well. I think that space that they're going to create for him is going to get him doing what he does best, which is play like a bully after the catch. Even though he's a smaller player, he's a tenacious guy who breaks a ton of tackles. And I think that's going to be a big reason why he could end up being the guy that leads the team in receiving yards. Again, I think it's much less likely if Bateman, especially Bateman, Bateman's the key here. Like, I could easily have wrote Zay Flowers / Rashad Bateman for this answer here, and I'd feel really good about it. But I wanted to talk specifically about Zay Flowers because he's the healthier guy right now. But I think it's possible, Ryan, but less likely if those two guys are healthy.
Yeah, as a Ravens fan, I remember on draft night seeing you tweet about you being excited about this pick, and that, you know, making me quite happy as a Ravens fan to see. I think one of the interesting things too about the trio is the fact that I agree that I think Zay will primarily be in the slot, but it feels like they could do a little of everything. You could see any of the three guys really in any position on the field. Mm-hmm. Again, if they're healthy, of course, obviously Mark Andrews as well. I'm super excited for the offense. I've talked about it all offseason. Even homerism aside, I think just this offense could take off. You mentioned that you liked Zay Flowers better than Quentin Johnston in the draft. Johnston is actually Debro's number five wide receiver here.
Yeah, I mean, the next few guys we're going to talk about here, it's all similar type of cases where they're all being pushed down to wide receiver three, wide receiver four territory, and the contingent upside for these guys is not really being baked into where they're going in drafts. And that's why, like, I love the fact that Harmon brought up Zay Flowers, because he's basically, like, in the same grouping, or should be mentioned in the same grouping, as Quentin Johnston. And the next guy I'll bring up is, look, all these guys are super talented, and I think if we were in a year where the draft class wasn't, like, just heaped upon, like, people were like, this draft class is not that good. I mean, it's okay. But if we were to go back to, like, Jamar Chase's draft class, like, we still see this every year, guys, where people don't put enough stock in drafting rookie wide receivers. Like, I'm old enough to remember when we were like, oh, well, you know, and some of the same things we're hearing about Quentin Johnston right now on the news line is like, oh, well, the drops. What about the drops? Well, I remember a time when people were like, well, can Jamar Chase catch a football anymore? Can he catch a football with lines? Like, so really, this is all just smoke season right now. And I'm going to invest in the talent of Quentin Johnston, because the reason you're able to get him in drafts right now where he goes is because of the where Keenan Allen and Mike Williams being in this passing attack. And I just don't understand. Like, people will say in one breath, I don't know if I want to invest in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams because they're so injury prone. And I don't know if they got anything left in the tank. But at the same time, they're like, yeah, but we're going to wait, like, Quentin Johnston fall down the board to wide receiver four territory. Like, make that make sense to me, because I'm like, if you're lower on these guys, we think that they are going to pass a ton as well as throw deep this year. Then why are people not hiring Quentin Johnston? He's going to fill a litany of roles for the Chargers. Like, going back to his college profile, I mean, what does the guy not do well? Okay, he was sixth in yak per reception. He was 11th in missed tackles forced. Outside of all those different things, oh, and he's a freaking maven when you put him inside in the slot. First in yak per reception and first in slot yards per route run last year. And that was 25% of his targets coming from the slot. So, yeah, I want to invest in good offenses, but I also want to invest in uber-talented players that carry first-round draft pedigree. And their ceiling inside of this Los Angeles Chargers offense is not being baked in, considering even if Mike Williams and Keenan Allen do stay healthy, Quentin Johnson just could be that dude, and he's going to line up in the slot more than people understand. So, downfield usage, yak, all the things, size for red zone opportunities. What's not to like here?
We've got another rookie wide receiver coming up later, so I'll save the larger rookie conversation for then. Before we move on, though, anyone who knows me knows how much I love going to see sports in person. I have already talked about how excited I am to see my first place Baltimore Orioles live in San Diego next month, checking off my 15th MLB stadium, which means I'm halfway to seeing all 30, and I plan to get all the way to 30 with the help of Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in the United States for last minute amazing deals on tickets to see your favorite baseball team, band, or comedian. Download Game Time. And again, it's not just sports. July and August mean huge summer concerts and comedy shows all across the country, and Game Time has your tickets. Download the Game Time app and redeem code Fantasy Pros for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download the Game Time app and enter code Fantasy Pros for $20 off. No matter where you live, get out and have some fun this week. Download Game Time today and enter code Fantasy Pros. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Matt Harmon, give me your number four wide receiver you're looking at here.
Yeah, well, we all agree, it seems like, here that we want to be investing in rookie wide receivers. And I definitely like Quentin Johnston, too, as a draft pick. I actually like him more as a fantasy draft pick, maybe even than I did as a prospect. So I like that call there, although I didn't mind him as a prospect either. But look, as valuable as rookie receivers are, second-year receivers are where you can really make some money in drafts. And the one guy that I think is just so overlooked is Jahan Dotson. I love Jahan Dotson, man. You know, I could make a case that I think really when you're ranking these second-year receivers, we know there's a clear top three, you know, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Drake London, and I think you can bunch the order up there because those guys are all really good players. And there's a lot of players that are intriguing after that, but I think the clear fourth guy, the best fourth player in this class, is Jahan Dotson. I love his rookie tape, and not just because I liked him as a prospect. I was ahead of consensus on him as a prospect, a clear first rounder, but I thought he was going to be more of like a vertical slot receiver. But he was playing outside last year and was extremely successful in reception perception. 69.9% success rate versus man. That's a really good number, but the most impressive one is 78.9% success rate versus press. And you look at the routes he was running too. They had him running like big boy down the field vertical routes. This was no like little bunny hop route stuff. Like his two lowest run routes in terms of relative to the NFL average in RP was the slant and the flat. The routes he's running, nine routes, post routes, corner routes, out routes, comeback routes, and just super successful on all of them. Can get separation deep. He's incredibly good as a contested catch player despite his size. And look, Washington obviously has questions. Good vibes in Washington right now after ownership change, but you know, we're still talking about, hey, is Sam Howell the starting quarterback? Like, how good is Sam Howell? But this receiver core is awesome. I love Terry McLaurin. I think Terry McLaurin's a top 10 real-life NFL receiver. I think you can be in on Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson this year. And shoot, I mean, even if you want to go real, real deep, Curtis Samuel is still kind of a forgotten guy that's a pretty good player too. So I think Jahan Dotson is just the type of guy, like, It to me, it's very similar to Devontae Smith last year, where Devontae Smith, and I think Devontae Smith's a better player than Jahan Dotson, but you know, he's playing across from an alpha receiver, and AJ Brown for Devontae Smith, Terry McLaurin for Jahan Dotson. There are questions about the offensive structure overall, and like how run heavy are they going to be, how pass heavy are they going to be, but just like close your eyes and bet on the receiver talent, bet on the route runner, and that's where that worked with Devontae Smith last year. I think it could work again with Jahan Dotson.
Quickly, Matt, is there a comparison in terms of role to what we saw from Eric Bieniemy's offenses in Kansas City that you would expect Dotson to fill in Washington with Bieniemy coming to Washington? Or is he a little bit different than any of the receivers he would have had in KC?
I think pretty different, certainly from any of the guys last year, right? And, you know, always with Eric Bieniemy, it's how much can you separate with Bieniemy versus Andy Reid? And obviously, like, how much can you separate anything going on in that offense when Patrick Mahomes is not in the mix? I think that does make it a little difficult, because I don't think he's very similar to like a Juju type from last year. I don't think he's MVS runs a lot of vertical routes, but Jahan Dotson is definitely more of a separator than MVS is. So I don't really know that there's like a clean comparison to the guys certainly last year, but we know they want to stretch the field. And I think outside route runners are going to matter a lot in that system.
D-Bro, you've got another rookie here for your number four.
I mean, look, you've seen him making tons of noise in camp because he's the truth. Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Last time we saw him in a full season, all he did was lead the nation in PFF receiving grade and yards per route run, drawing a 22% target share against future studs Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. I don't know what's not to love. JSN is that damn good. First round talent. He can win all over the field. I think that people categorize him as a slot only player, and I think it's wrong. I think in college, he also showed the ability to win deep. He's a three-level threat. He was ninth in yards per route run, tied for PFF's highest deep receiving grade in 2021. I think that there is a likely outcome this year where he's the wide receiver two in this offense from the hop, that Tyler Lockett goes back to stretching the field. And this is no shade against Tyler Lockett, but Tyler Lockett, for all of the great things that he has done over his career, he's never been a guy that's had a high target per route run rate. If you look at how they've utilized Lockett and Metcalf over the last few years, and I've talked about this ad nauseum in my DFS write-ups for the site and the shows that I've done with Joey P, is that this team versus zone coverage has leaned on Tyler Lockett versus man coverage. They go back to the well with DK Metcalf. I think JSN is going to be their preferred weapon against zone coverage. And as much zone coverage as we see in the NFL nowadays, he's going to eat. So I love JSN. You're getting a wide receiver three, wide receiver four prices in drafts. And again, contingent upside is not being baked into where he's going. You can make the same conversation and case for Zay Flowers, Quentin Johnston, and JSN this year, that they are probably right now, if everybody stays healthy, wide receiver two, wide receiver three mix, depending on how the target shares and touchdowns all kind of shake out. One injury in any one of those passing attacks, and we're talking about these guys could be rock solid wide receiver twos. Hell, maybe wide receiver one upside in Seattle and the Chargers case, considering the offenses that they're in.
Matt, I'm glad Debra kind of mentioned all those rookies together, because we've already talked about three of them here in our first four picks. And I had wanted to ask you, generally with rookie wide receivers, when you're evaluating them from a fantasy perspective, how much are you thinking about their role as rookies? And you talked about, you might have actually answered this question a little bit with Jahan Dotson when you said just bet on the talent, but specifically with rookies, when we haven't actually seen them fit into an NFL offense yet, we can imagine, and we have pretty good ideas, right? We know a lot going in, more than we did 20 years ago, but how much are you looking at just pure talent when ranking rookie receivers versus where you imagine them fitting into their offenses?
Well, I think this is, it's sort of both, right? Because I think talent influences role in a way, and it's specifically when we're talking about player archetypes. And I think this is where like the difference between an outside receiver and a slot receiver, we talk about that plenty, but we don't talk enough about like who's going to be the X and who's going to be the flanker, and like where these guys are going to line up from a position interpositional standpoint. And I think Seattle's a great example of that, because I love Tyler Lockett. I'm a huge Tyler Lockett fan. I think Tyler Lockett's way underranked this year. I think he's like a top 10 real life NFL receiver. I think DK Metcalf's like a top 10 real life NFL receiver too. They're kind of right there for me. So I kind of want to draft all of them. I want to draft JSN too, because when you look at him specifically, I think he's going to really complement what these two guys put out. You know, DK is kind of like, he's a pure perimeter X receiver who's going to run a lot of go routes. He's going to run crossing routes. He's going to run slant routes. His route tree's evolved more and more as he's become a pro, but there's sort of a base of what he does, where Tyler Lockett runs a little bit of everything. And when you look at him specifically too, like, he's going to be a guy that could play slide, he could play flanker, but I think he was at his best last year when he was more of an outside player. And then you bring in JSN, and he's just going to slide right into kind of that Cooper Kupp role in this offense. Like, they want to be an 11 personnel team. Shane Waldron wants them to be an 11 mm-hmm. personnel team. That's why you take a damn receiver in the first round, right? So I think when you're looking at talent and how that's going to influence where they're going to line up on the field and how that can influence the role and how that also fits with the guys on their offense. And in this particular case with JSN, as we're talking about, I think it fits really, really well. So that's why I think, like, look, you can be in on all. I want to be in on all these Seahawks guys. I want to be drafting Geno as a late round quarterback, and I want to be drafting Metcalf and Lockett at cost, and I want to be drafting JSN at cost as well.
Before we get to some more receiver picks, let's take a very quick second to talk about one of my absolute favorite Fantasy Pros tools, the Cheat Sheet Creator, which can be found at fantasypros.com/sheet. I use the Cheat Sheet Creator every August to prepare for every draft, and you guys should too. It's a simple and fast way to create a cheat sheet specifically tailored to your league. Find this tool at fantasypros.com/sheet. You can use your own rankings or any combination of your favorite fantasy experts in the industry. You can also add up to 3 custom player tags for each player, and those tags will show up during the draft. That can be things like players to avoid, sleepers, top targets, and more. Speaking of some top wide receiver targets, let's get back to today's show. Matt, give me your number 3 wide receiver.
Oh, this one's Calvin Ridley, man. It's so easy to be excited about Calvin Ridley because, and it's funny, like, we're doing the podcast in the middle of the season last year when the trade deadline move goes down. I remember saying at the time, I want to remain cautiously optimistic about Calvin Ridley. Didn't work. Now I'm just optimistic. I was wanting to be cautiously optimistic, and then I went back and watched his 2021 film for reception. And that's not even his like consensus good season, right? 2020 was the year that everybody talks about. But even you go back and watch him in 2021, 76.4% success rate versus man, 75% against press, 80.5% against zone coverage, just an ability to stretch the field, to be a true number one receiver on the outside, despite his frame, to be a guy that handles press coverage really well. I mean, that is exactly what the Jacksonville Jaguars needed last year. This is another team that I think is going to be very highly concentrated. Like, I think they're going to look similar to the Eagles last year, where A.J. Brown is the Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk is a Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, Evan Ingram, and you know, like, Quez Watkins sprinkles in there, Zay Jones is going to sprinkle in there too. I think this is going to be a concentrated offense. The ball goes to their top 3 playmakers, but I think Ridley stands out. And really, I'm thinking about it this way. As good as Ridley used to be, like, D-Bro, if this was 2020, 2021 Calvin Ridley and he was playing with Trevor Lawrence, like, where would you rank him? I think he'd be up there with, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Garrett Wilson. Yep. Like, he'd be, like, my receiver 7 or 8 or something like that.
He'd be a consensus top 10 guy. I adamantly agree with this, Harmon. Like, I've been high on Ridley all offseason, and now we're getting to training camp, and people are like, oh, look at that.
He's wow, he looks great. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. One thing that we've said on the show a lot this offseason in talking about both Ridley and Deshaun Watson is elite players don't forget how to be elite. And these are guys, talking about Ridley in this case, who is definitely, it's not like he's so old that he would be washed up. There's always the rust question, but yes, an elite wide receiver playing in an offense with a third year, potentially elite quarterback. Super exciting. I mean, Harmon, you are high on him. Debro has him ranked 13th right now in our rankings and in half PPR. So you guys are in lockstep on that one. Debro, give me your next receiver.
Yeah, I've been calling Calvin Ridley all offseason the discount Stephon Diggs. I mean, he's probably going to threaten for 100 receptions, ascend an offense. Like, I don't know what else people want to see, but let's go, baby. But the next guy on this list, I haven't shut up about him since senior ball, and I'm not going to now, man. This is Christian Watson. Everything we saw when he finally was made a full-time player in this offense, they stopped messing around with gadgety stuff with him, let him be on the field, and Aaron Rodgers decided to get out of his own way and throw him the damn ball. Christian Watson was a baller, man. Weeks at 10 through 18, 80% of the snaps in the 6 games in that sample, 23% target share, 42% end zone target share. He had 3.0 yards per route run. And what this Green Bay Packers and LaFleur system is so predicated on, and why Watson is just so freaking good, outside of, I didn't really believe a lot of like the, oh, he's incredibly raw. Like, I think that obviously, like, walking into the NFL, there are things he can get better at his game. Yes. But this entire passing attack has been and is predicated off of getting guys into space and creating yak opportunities. And you're going to tell me that you're going to do that with a guy of his size and alien type athleticism? I mean, there's nobody to threaten him for targets this year. I like Jaden Reed, but he is still not going to be the number one alpha in this offense. That is Christian Watson's role. And he could do it in a lot of different ways. Whether you give him a crosser 5 yards deep and he takes it to the house, or he burns a guy on a go route, there's so many different options. And the only reason, and I'm going to bring up something that Harmon said, like,
if we didn't have questions about the quarterbacking play of Jordan Love, where the hell would we be ranking Christian Watson this year? He would be up there. If Aaron Rodgers was still there, he would be up there in the Chris Olave territory, the top 15, the top 12 territory. Like, people would be extremely high on what he's doing in his second season or what he could do. And the fact that we have Jordan Love as quarterback, and Jordan Love does not have to be amazing for Christian Watson to still be that dude this year. He just has to be league average. That's all I'm asking for. But if it was Aaron Rodgers still there, people would be putting more respect on Christian Watson's name. They're not. So I'm going to continue to draft him everywhere.
Do you worry, Debro, quickly, not even necessarily about Love's performance, but just about the offense being too run heavy this season?
No, I mean, I think like they have been pass heavy in the sense of neutral passing rates. Now, this has been a really, really slow offense over the past few years with Hackett and Rodgers team together. I'm actually kind of curious, like, what this offense looks like. Like, do they go a little bit faster as an offense? And I'm not telling you like top 10, top 12 for pace, but do they do more no huddle? Is this a middle of the road pace team? And if that's the case, the play volume is going to rise and the passing rate can fall a little bit, and they still could throw the ball close to how many times they've thrown the ball over the past few years with Aaron Rodgers. Just could look a little bit different.
Guys, the audience has already heard me talk about my love of playing softball and also how much more fun summer nights at the fields are with a cooler full of Miller Lite. But I got to experience this joy just last night visiting my friends back east this weekend. I got to join my old softball team, and we spent hours after the game just sitting around, catching up, and drinking Miller Lights. Those moments are the highlight of every summer for me, and one of the key ingredients is Miller Lite, the 96-calorie beer that tastes like beer and is perfectly brewed for everything summer has to offer. Absolutely nothing helps wash down the taste of a loss or takes the celebration of a softball win to the next level like a can of Miller Lite. As our coach always says after any game ends, let's go do what we do best, drink some beers, and beers always means Miller Lite. With the Miller Lite in your hand, summer doesn't just taste great, it tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/fantasypros. That's MillerLite.com/fantasypros, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Matt, please give me your number two wide receiver on this list.
Yeah, my number two, and look, this is just a pure, this guy's going to have a year at some point. And maybe it's this year. I've been early on it. I've been early on this guy basically the entire time. Too early, some would say. That's Brandon Ayuk. Look, here's the deal. I know it's crowded offense. I get it. Debo's there. George Kittle's there. Christian McCaffrey's there. It's tough to project Brandon Ayuk for like a 1,400-yard type season. But you know what? Like, he's so good. It could happen at some point. 91st percentile success rate versus man last year, 89th percentile against press. Like, guys that put up those numbers, they go on. Like, I'm always going to chase the next Stephon Diggs, okay? Right? Like, the guy who we all agree is good, but actually was an elite level route runner, an elite level separator against press man coverage. He wasn't in the environment to see it yet in Minnesota. And I don't know that this environment in San Francisco is the environment to see it, but I think one thing is for sure, this offense is at its best. Like, we get caught up in the gadgety stuff and the cool things that Kyle Shanahan designs, but this offense is at its best when they have a true X receiver who can dictate coverage and beat press man on the outside. That is Brandon Ayuk. He's really good on the in-breaking routes that this offense requires. 84.6% success rate on slants, 86.7% on digs, 82.6% on posts. By the way, all of these are like absurd. But then we saw with Brock Purdy, he is much more willing to test the defense vertically and outside the numbers than Jimmy Garoppolo is. And Brandon Ayuk is also very good on those out routes, on the corner routes. I really think his pairing with Purdy is pretty natural. And again, I think that his talent is going to command a target tree shakeup here. And he also is a great contingent value player as well if Debo misses time or George Kittle misses time.
So why is it just the overcrowded offense? Why hasn't it happened yet previously? Which is actually, I'm now thinking, kind of a weird question to ask for a guy that was 15th in half PPR, you know, finished last season. He did have 1,000 yards receiving. He did have 8 touchdowns. It's not like he was a nothing or a terrible player on your team last year. But is there a reason he hasn't taken that next like step into the elite like you have been predicting for a while? Is it just there's too many mouths to feed?
Yeah, I think there's just way too many good players here. Like, it's crazy how talented they are. Like, they have a running back who commands a near 20% target share when he's out there because he's such a good pass catcher. You know, Debo is interesting too because, like, he's a good receiver against zone coverage and a pretty good route runner in some areas, but he's also a guy that commands like gadget design touches too. So it's like you have to manufacture those within your offense. And then Kittle's obviously there as well. And by the way, they're a run heavy team too. Like, they're never going to push to be top 10 in pass attempts or anything. And they've had quarterback uncertainty. You know, Garoppolo's an up and down player who doesn't really fit stylistically with Ayuk. You know, Trey Lance is what he is. And I think that was why, like, once you saw Purdy in there, you saw kind of like Ayuk's more full upside expressed. Yeah. So to me, I think there's a lot of factors involved there. A lot of things outside of his control.
Debro, hit me with your next one.
I love the fact that Harmon brought up Brandon Ayuk before I get to my next guy, because I have been called an idiot in the YouTube comments, and I'm totally fine with that. But I love the fact that Harmon is sitting here waxing poetic, because I've been on record saying that Brandon Ayuk is a better wide receiver than Debo Samuel. Like, yeah, you airdrop him into any different offense, 1,300-yard receiver, perennially. Like, it would not even be a question. And a guy that I think that we see him get to that level this year is Jerry Jeudy. So he's got to be number two on my list. I mean, we saw the ascension for Jerry Jeudy start last year. In weeks 13 through 18, he was 5th in yards per route run and 11th in BFF receiving grade. This guy over the last 2 seasons, and just to put some context about how freaking good he's been, over the last 2 years, he is tied for 5th. An open score right behind Justin Jefferson. All we need is competent quarterback play. We need Russell Wilson to bounce back and not look like a shell of his former self. I think we get that this year. And I think it's to the moon with Jerry Jeudy. I think that he could be a wide receiver one. I think he'd be a high-end wide receiver one, depending on how good this offense can be. But if we're talking about making bets on talent and guys that are ascendant in their second, third years. I want to bet on Jerry Jeudy a lot this season.
Yeah, Matt, if I'm looking at the rankings correctly, and tell me if I'm wrong or these are out of date, this is the guy that you and Debro are most apart on. I'm seeing you have him at 32nd. It's interesting looking at the Yahoo guys. We have 32nd, 19th, 19th, and 32nd. So you guys are split a little at Yahoo. You and Debro are split here. What's your take here on Jeudy?
I really struggle with Jerry Jeudy because I think he has really high peaks, but he's a very inconsistent player. And I think that's expressed in his reception perception results, where he's kind of declined against in his success rate versus man coverage. The zone success rates last year, fifth percentile success rate against zone coverage, not great. I also, Sean Payton maybe unnecessarily took a shot hard at Nathaniel Hackett last year, but it certainly wasn't a very well-designed offense last year. So I think you could chalk some of that up, the zone coverage stuff specifically, up to route combinations and things like that, usage with the player. I'm like tired of seeing Jerry Jeudy as a slot receiver. He's not a slot receiver, okay? Like, he needs to be an outside flanker guy. Now, I'm saying this Tim Patrick just got injured, is probably out for the season, but I don't know, Debro, for me, I think I view Jerry Jeudy as like a number one receiver. I think he's a really quality number two, and I don't think there's a number one receiver on this roster. I agree that he's the best receiver here, and I think it's probably with a decent, not a decent gap, because I still think Courtland Sutton, who I know everybody's out on Courtland Sutton, and I know you're a Sutton guy. I was not a Sutton guy last year. I think he was very overrated last season, but now I almost think like it's swung too far the other way. Where people think like Courtland Sutton's just dust. I think he's like an average starting X receiver. And I know that's like, oh boy, big praise there, but I think he's like an average starting X receiver. I think Marvin Mims is a good speed slot guy. Tim Patrick being out, it certainly is going to free up targets here, but like, I kind of think we're underrating how many guys are still present in this offense to draw targets. And I still do have real questions about the quarterback play. I respect Sean Payton as a play caller, and I think he's probably going to do good things for this team, but how much is he elevating Russell Wilson? Like, I think we can get Russell Wilson back to being like the 15th best quarterback in the NFL. And is that enough for Jerry Jeudy to stand out when I still have questions about the player and the skill set? That's kind of where I get hung up on Jeudy.
Debra, do you feel swayed by that?
I mean, there's some pause and concern for this Denver passing attack, no doubt. I mean, what do we get out of Russell Wilson? Is it a lot better? Or even if it is better, like, what does that look like? Is it just a marginal difference? Do we see the Saints go run heavy? Where do their touchdowns go? Because the other thing about a Sean Payton offense that we could talk about ad nauseum is he runs a lot of the red zone offense through his running backs. A lot of the touchdown production goes to his running backs. So what does that look like
for
Denver?
Who's his new Taysom Hill? Who is his new Taysom Hill?
Oh, golly. Oh, jeez.
Who's the Pitt project?
Don't you have nightmares here, Matt?
By the way, Matt, you are playing with fire mentioning Nathaniel Hackett. You better keep Aaron Rodgers' coach's name out of your mouth.
I was like, yo, Sean, that was aggressive. I mean, come on, man.
I'm on the other side. I thought it was like, what's the problem here? Payton's just telling the truth. Unnecessarily. It was bad.
All right, Matt, give me your number one guy we're talking about here.
Yeah, my number one guy, and I brought him up a little bit in passing earlier, is Chris Olave. Because Chris Olave, I think, is just we're underrating how good he is. And I get it. Like, a lot of the advanced metrics look really good for Andy Dalton last year. I would argue those advanced metrics look really good because he was throwing to a guy named Chris Olave who is open all of the time. 75% success rate versus man, incredibly important indicator for Chris Olave. He's right up there with guys, you know, that had rookie seasons, like a Tyler Lockett's a great example up there. 75.8% success rate versus man, 77.5% success rate versus press, 81.2% against zone coverage. Like, the guy gets open everywhere. And what's impressive about those success rates overall is that you look at his route chart, like the routes that Chris Olave was running last year, it's all downfield stuff, even more than we talked about with Jahan Dotson. Like, 7.4% of his routes in his reception perception sample for Chris Olave were slant routes. 7.4%, that's nuts. 5.2% flats, 3% screens. He's running all these downfield routes, and he's still posting these incredibly high success rates, being able to get open at all three levels. I just think, like, this guy has I'm not going to say like a Justin Jefferson type ceiling, but he's that same type of route runner that if he's the number one receiver in fantasy this year, because him and Derek Carr just click and this offense just clicks. I don't know that I love the coaching staff enough to make that statement, but I think he truly does have top five receiver upside because he is that good.
In our expert consensus rankings, Olave is a tier below a fellow second year player in Garrett Wilson. Is that wrong to you? I mean, I definitely see the case for why Wilson is ranked higher, but it feels to me like they should at least be in the same tier, even if Wilson is higher. Or do you agree with that?
I think that I'm probably, I think when you look at those guys, I think they should be in the same tier. Like, I think there's an elite tier of receivers. You know, like I think Cooper Kupp and Justin Jefferson are kind of like almost in a tier of their, well, Ja'Marr Chase, I think, is going to join that tier this year, actually. But I think they're like up there. And then you've got kind of like the guys like Tyreek Hill, you've got AJ Brown, you've got CeeDee Lamb, you've got Stephon Diggs, you've got Devontae Adams, I think still belongs in there. And then that next tier, I think, starts with Garrett Wilson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Chris Olave is in that tier as well to me. Like guys who could jump up into that top five ranking because they all have incredibly high ceilings. But I think there's just, you could really make a good argument that Chris Olave is better than Garrett Wilson. You can make a good argument that Garrett Wilson is better than Chris Olave. Those guys are just really close. They're very good players.
Yeah, and D-Bro, you are going to wrap us up here with another guy who's in that tier, but you think should be even higher.
Yeah, I've got Amon-Ra St. Brown as my wide receiver five this year. I'm all in on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't want to sit here and steal Harmon's thunder because I know that he has coined the phrase. And Harmon, for the people at home, what have you called Amon-Ra St. Brown over the past few years? Because it's going to lead into how much I love the guy this year.
Yeah, his prospect profile called him Bud Light Cooper Kupp because he just is very similar to Cooper Kupp. But I'll let you continue as to why.
I mean, I love Amon-Ra St. Brown for that reason, man. Like, I think that he is firmly on the Cooper Kupp career arc. And what we've seen out of his game, just the evolution of Amon-Ra St. Brown's game. I mean, we know that he's basically like 7-11. He's open all the time, baby. Like every single time that Jared Goff drops back, he's like, oh, where's Amon-Ra? Oh, look at that. He's running wide open across the field. It's beautiful. But what we're going to see that's going to elevate him to that top tier to be in, and I'm not telling you like legendary type of numbers like Cooper Kupp, but it is going to be really close. He is going to cross the 160 target threshold this year. Last year, what we saw out of him, third in target per route run rate. This Lions passing attack is going to be busy this year. They are going to throw the ball because we've already seen it last year, guys. Like over the last few weeks of the season, so final eight games, 11th in neutral pace, 12th in neutral passing rate. You marry that with Amon-Ra St. Brown was top five in target per route run rate. Well, the routes per game are going up, people. So the targets are going to mirror that. And when I talked about the Cooper Kupp career arc, he's done nothing but get better as an outside wide receiver. Now they're talking about using him down the field, which we have not seen to this point, to give him a higher weekly ceiling. But versus man coverage, the guy was first in PFF receiving grade, ninth in yards per route run against man coverage. Labeling him as a slot-only wide receiver is blasphemous. He can win all over the field. And I think what really, really gives him like the true take the top off where he can be that league winner type of guy this year is what they are going to do in the red zone that we have already been hearing in camp that we saw last year, guys, weeks 10 through 18. Amon-Ra St. Brown ranked first, not fifth, not third, not 10th, first handedly in red zone targets amongst all wide receivers. He has double digit touchdown upside this season. The targets are going up. This offense is going to throw more. And I think he is going to be a massive value. Like, can I say value, but he's going in the second rounds of drafts. He should be talked about. Like he has that wide receiver one type of upside this season. And I don't think that's insane to say, but I'll kick this to Harmon to see if I need to sit here and, you know, check my Kool-Aid here.
Well, you mentioned the man coverage stuff, and that really is the difference here. We know based on his rookie year reception perception profile, 80.4% success rate versus zone. He backed that up in his second season, 81.8%. And if you're going to be a big slot receiver, this was why I was in on him last year, was, you know, all the nonsense about he was just getting targets because everybody else was hurt last year. It's like, no, man, watch the guy play. He's good. You know, is that you could see that as a rookie, that he had the slot receiving chops, the zone coverage beating chops as a rookie. But like you mentioned, in his second season, he gets up to 70.5% success rate versus man. That's very, very good for a guy who is going to line up inside and out. And yeah, that ability to win in tight, confined spaces, I'm with you that like he could have 13 touchdowns this year. Not to mention the fact, and I'm not doing the who else is going to catch the ball thing, but like, yo, they're going to run that offense through Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, like they have to, because it's not going to be Marvin Jones at this point. It's not going to be Josh Reynolds. You know, it's not going to Jameis Williams going to miss the first six games. We don't even know who Jameson Williams is. Denzel Mims, like we'll see. I think St. Brown is going to walk in like he's got 10, 11 targets off the bus. And there are going to be games like remember the 49ers game with the Rams last year. And admittedly, the offense stunk. And I do have my questions with like, how good is this Lions offense going to be because of the lack of outside threats? But like, you know, they're getting shellacked by the 49ers and Cooper Kupp has like 14 catches with the Rams last year. There's going to be some of those games with Amon-Ra St. Brown this year.
Matt, I want to quickly play a one question game show with you. We have 140 experts in the expert consensus rankings right now. How many of them do you think are higher on Amon-Ra St. Brown than D-Bro?
I mean, it's got to be zero.
It is zero. There are four others who are tied with D-Bro. With him, number five.
I love it.
Nobody is higher. D-Bro is
top of the mountain.
Number
it feels
one.
Good up here, baby. The air is sweet.
I will recap the picks here quickly. Matt's got 5-1. Zay Flowers, Jahan Dotson, Calvin Ridley, Brandon Ayuk, Chris Olave, D-Bro, 5-1. Quentin Johnston, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Christian Watson, Jerry Jeudy, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Thank you so much for giving us the time today, Matt. Obviously, like I said at the top of the show, August is tomorrow as of when we're recording this. Maybe not when you guys are listening to this. When you're listening, August may already be here. It is draft season. We are really excited. This is going to be a very fun next few weeks here. Please, everybody, remember to check out the opportunities I mentioned with Game Time and go drink some Miller Lite. It'll make your draft more fun on Fantasy Draft Day. Check out the Cheat Sheet Creator as well. For Matt Harmon and Derek Brown, I am Ryan Wormley. We will see you guys again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.